The Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team today. Joining us right now is Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit CFAortho.com. Good morning, coach. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Yeah.
Happy New Year's Eve. Kind of weird that the puck is dropping for you and the boys in about 5 hours and 27 minutes, if my radio math is correct. 12:30 puck drop at Capital One Arena with the matinee against the Bruins.
Yeah, this is an odd one, having to start this early, but there's a few of them on the schedule, so just adjust the preparation a little bit, but we'll be ready to go.
So, Coach Carbs, you talked about the scheduling there. Any issues for you with the scheduling for the Caps coming out of the Christmas break with the back-to-backs in Toronto and Detroit, then the early start today with just one day of rest between? Is it just something that you have to adapt to because this is a schedule? They're obviously not going to change it. Is this something you would, you know, go to Brian McClellan and say, hey, we should talk to the league about this because it's kind of hard for our guys to stay fresh and healthy with this sort of turnaround?
No, it's just part of the schedule. It's an intense schedule with the Four Nations tournament, and they're trying to condense 82 games into an X amount of days, and we were a little light early. You're going to get these games. Like, we got Toronto on a back-to-back themselves, and so every team can have their gripes about the schedule. Certainly, I'm not going to sit here and say that it's ideal scenarios, because it's definitely not. But you're going to go through them, and you just got to find a way to grind and perform in those difficult circumstances. No different than you're going to face, you know, towards the end of the year, or any difficult game that you with when you're missing a key player or something, where you've got to find a way to grind through a game and get 2 points when it's not ideal circumstances.
So, Coach, you mentioned that Four Nations tournament. I know that you were bristling at the fact that none of the Caps were named to the four squads, but does a little part of your brain think, you know what, my guys are going to be rested and healthy, and they're not going to be, you know, logging in extra ice time when I need them for, obviously, the Washington Capitals exploits instead of playing for their country? I understand that's a big honor, but is a little part of you thinking, you know what, this is actually somewhat advantageous for my guys that they're not playing these extra games?
Quite honestly, no. I don't look at it that way. I know maybe when we get to the second half, I'll reflect back and go, oh, you know, it's our guys look a little fresher, and the four or five guys that could have been named look really good. But I just think the way my mind works is it's more of you know, you want to see them achieve those individual accolades and get recognized, and so that's where my head goes of wanting them to have that opportunity to represent the country.
So let's talk kind of bigger picture here. You're obviously having a great start to the season, 24-10-2, great home record, but the last 10 games, just 6-4. How have you felt about kind of this recent stretch of Capitals hockey?
You're trying to get me going, aren't you?
I am.
I think we've hit a little bit of a lull in our season. Okay. I'll be honest with you, and we're trying to find our way out. Felt like the start of the year, we were firing on all cylinders. We had probably 90% of our lineup playing at an extremely high level, feeling it, however you want to describe it, just performing maybe even above expectations and punching above their weight class a little bit. And now we've sort of hit a little bit of a lull of where, you know, we've got quite a few guys that are sort of trying to find it right now that aren't playing at that level. And as a team, we're not controlling play, and the games don't look like they did at the beginning of the year. So it's on us as a group, as a coaching staff, as players, to find our way out of this lull and find our games and work to find our games. And that's
We're joined by Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. So this is your second game in just 8 days against the Bruins. What were some of your takeaways from that 4-1 loss in Boston? And do you like drawing a team again a week later to see if you can correct what went wrong in that previous matchup?
I don't mind it in these circumstances because, I thought we were fine. It was a back-to-back. They were fresh. Like we talked about previously, you got to manage your game in those games and you got to do certain things. And I thought we did a lot of good things to stay in that hockey game and keep it at 1-1. We ended up, they got the, made a mistake sort of late in the third and they get the game winner on an odd man rush. But I liked a lot of the things we did from a checking standpoint, from being able to hang in that game. Now, we were not good with the puck at all. I think it was, I don't quote me on this, but I want to say we had 11 shots in a 60-minute game. Mm. Power play was not good. Our execution with the puck when we got into offensive situations and had them vulnerable was not good. And so those are the areas that we'll look to correct and look to be a lot better. You got to give them credit. They're a great defensive team. They protect the middle of the rink. They are big, strong. They've got good sticks. But we need to do a much better job with the puck today and be a lot better offensively with our execution.
Coach Carbs, I'm just going to jock you here. I'm going to give you some props. So after the back-to-back in Toronto and Detroit, so you come back Monday. So if I were the head coach of the Washington Capitals, which I could never be because I know very little about hockey, but if I were Coach Carbs after that back-to-back, I'd come home. I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to relax a little bit today. I'm going to decompress. I'm kind of do my own thing. Maybe do some sort of leisure pursuit, whatever Coach Carbs likes to do in his spare time. But you went to MedStar Capital's Iceplex, and you were holding three different coaching clinics for youth players like 10U, 12U, and 14U. All these area, like, young hockey players, the little mites or whatever you call them at that age, they come in and they get coached by Coach Carberry on his day off. I mean, you're just a hockey lifer, Coach. I give you props for that. That's awesome.
I honestly, that's fun for me, being able to get on the ice with young kids, and it just takes you back to when you were a kid and being able to work with them, and it's all about just having fun, enjoying. And Kenny McCudden, watching him work, he's our skills coach, one of our assistant coaches, and he's the best in the business. And watching him orchestrate a practice with young kids and get everybody moving is, I'm in awe of it. That was not work yesterday. That was me being able to go out on the ice with a ton of youth players and have some fun with them. And it was a great day.
Talking to Coach Spencer Carberry from the Washington Capitals, 50 points already on the season. Of course, you played pretty damn good hockey without Ovi. Ovi's now back. How easy is it for you to just insert him back into the lineup?
I just write his name and spell it correctly and put it right in the put that number 8 and call. He's been solid. I thought his first game back in Toronto and Hockey Night in Canada Saturday night, hasn't played in a long time coming off the break. I thought he was, you could tell he was just feeling his way back into the game fine, skating well, like looked fine. The Detroit game, he was arguably our best forward. Like, he was around the puck. I think he had 7 or 8 shots. He was getting into good spots offensively. You could tell it was sort of back in the groove. So hopefully that's a sign of things to come, of him now getting more comfortable back playing, couple games under his belt, and he only just continues to build his game and has the impact like he did in Detroit.
Coach Carbs, looking at the stats for the Caps right now, 14 players on the squad with double-digit points on the season, ranging from Verana with 11 up to Strome, who leads the team with 39. How comforting is it to you and your staff that it's not just 4 or 5 guys that are really carrying the scoring load for the team, that you're getting it from multiple spots on the roster?
Well, that's our MO, honestly, and that's the way it has to be for our group. We're not a one-line team. We're not a top-heavy team with 3 or 4 guys that are going to have, 90 to 100 points. We're a well-balanced 4-line, 6D, 2 goaltenders, and we're going to beat you because of our depth and because we can attack you from any spot, any line, any D pair. And that's what we've got to get back to a little bit. I feel like we're not showing that depth. It's three or four guys a night that look really good, and then the rest, it's not great. And we're not quite as connected with all 18 players and two goaltenders. So that's sort of, we've got to get back to using that as a strength and why we're able to beat really good teams and play consistently well and not just rely on, i.e., Dylan Strome or think that, okay, Pierre-Luc Dubois is going to carry us tonight or Connor McMichael tonight. We need that depth.
You mentioned Dubois, really steady over the last 2 months, 11 points in both November and December. He's starting to creep up on Strome for the team lead in assists. I'm guessing he's been everything the Caps hoped for when they acquired him. He's looking like he's on pace for one of those 60-point-plus seasons he had like three or four seasons ago.
Yeah, he's been fantastic for us for majority of the year. He's been really, really consistent, getting all the most difficult matchups and having to play at least at home when we can control the matchup of playing him against all the top lines, top centermen in the National Hockey League. And that's a difficult assignment. Like, that is not easy to, A, be able to keep them at bay, but B, be productive in those minutes as well. So he's had a great start to the season and sort of a great start to his new look inside the organization of being a huge part of the Capitals.
Coach, the goalie platoon is working out just spectacularly. Both Chucky and Logan Thompson with double-digit wins. I saw the report on Russian Machine Never Breaks that the team has interest in keeping both of them in the fold as they're both UFAs this offseason, and that'll be something that's dealt with later. But I don't think I've asked you this about the goalie tandem. Which goalie is weirder? Which one has more quirks? Which one has the strangest rituals? Because we know that goalies are always kind of the oddballs on the team. Which one of the two stands out to you that you look at them pregame or, you know, during game day, like, this guy's just kind of, he's out there. Like,
yeah.
Is one of them, like, head and shoulders above the other in that department?
I feel like, and I know exactly what you're saying, and you're spot on with the position because I've been around the game long enough to have seen that firsthand. I feel like we have two, Chucky and LT are pretty normal goaltenders when it comes to like the their little quirks that they have or rituals, and I don't really think maybe. Maybe I would say Chucky, because LT's a little bit looser when it comes to his preparation. He's just like, he's more where Chucky, you can tell, like, he is super, super focused and zeroed in, and that's his style. It's like, when he's going to play, like, he's in the zone. And where LT's a little bit different that way is he's found success being a little looser and not being as quote unquote laser focused. He's focused when the game starts, but when the play's not going on or when he's not like the game hasn't started, he's not quite as Chucky is.
Very good. Well, Coach, we appreciate the time, especially on a game day, 12:30 puck drop against the Bruins. Best of luck today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, sounds good. Happy New Year, guys. Enjoy the day.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. It's Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit cfaortho.com for more details. Welcome back to the Junks. You got a two-man junk show getting you through on this New Year's Eve. Thanks again to Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals, for joining us. Caps have an early one today. 12:30 puck drop at Capital One Arena.
Just talking to Drab about something that happened behind the scenes that I wasn't aware of.
Okay, yes.
One of our frequent callers, particularly during the Commander season, is Mo from Largo.
Radio insider.
Yes, correct.
Fellow DeMatha guy. Now, we didn't go to DeMatha, but Jason and Eric went to DeMatha.
He's a fellow Stag.
He's very well-mannered on the phone. He always thanks us for taking his call.
He does, yes.
But apparently, something happened between him and Drab.
Oh.
that resulted in a banishment for
what
2 weeks, a suspension.
What happened?
Yeah, I suspended Mo from Largo for calling in for 2 weeks.
Wow, a 2 week banishment.
It was going to be longer, but I'm feeling kind.
Right.
Tis the season.
It is the holiday. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How many bans have been enacted? This is rare.
Suspensions.
Okay, suspended. Okay, suspended.
I've been actually giving them out recently.
Okay.
There was a guy.
Do you keep a list?
I know they are. There's a guy, Joe from Manassas, I think. I used to call in a lot. He called in one day off air and told me I was an idiot. I didn't know what I was talking about. Oh. Banned. Yeah. Suspended. He got suspended for 3 months.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's a harsh one.
He really angered
me. Does he know his date, or do you know his date when the ban's lifted?
It was lifted December 1st.
Okay.
This is very draconian of you, Drabs.
Did you know this was happening behind the scenes?
I had no idea.
Valdez gets a kick out of it. But sometimes these people then start texting him or texting you guys, Drab banned me, help me out.
The caller should know. Calling in and talking and being on the air, it's a privilege. It's not a right.
I'm the one guy. You just be nice. You don't have to be nice to me. Just don't be rude to
me. Just don't be a jerk.
Yeah, Drab's the keeper of the gate.
I'm the keeper of the gate. I don't have a lot of power.
Right. See, the irony is if Mo had called in and said, hey, I just want to Joan on the boys, he would have pushed him to the front of the line.
Right.
But from what I understand.
I have a policy in my life that if you troll me when my team loses, I don't want you in my life.
Okay.
You
don't need that negativity.
Every March when Gonzaga gets, eliminated in the Sweet 16 or whatever, if you tweet me LOL, Zags, I'll just block you.
What did he say? You remember in particular about the Seahawks?
Yeah, I remember. It was last night. It was Sunday night. It was a great
two blocks today.
He texted you. Does he have your number?
Of course not. Of course not.
Okay. He has my number because he mounted TVs in my house.
You give your phone number out to anybody. Yeah. It's insane. I made the mistake of following him on Instagram, supporting the guy, so he can DM me on Instagram. Okay. So I'm sitting there. I'm not even active on social media on Sunday night. I'm watching the game in bed, having a fantastic, awesome game.
Sure,
the city's on fire. I was like, dang, that was an awesome game. It's 11:45. I'm just pulling up the covers to go to sleep.
Yeah.
I hear look at my phone. It chimed. It said, Mo from Largo sent you a DM.
Okay.
I swipe it open, and it's a meme of says, officially eliminated Seahawks. And he goes, LOL, or something like that.
You know what? I mean,
see you later, Seahawks.
I I've met Mo, I think, once, and, countless interactions. It's unwarranted. Like, it's a cheap shot.
I don't know Mo. First, I don't know Mo.
It's
like
a cheap
that.
Shot from Mo. Like, it's unnecessary, unprovoked.
So he dropped an LOL eliminated to me, which fine. Like, you want to.
It's also no big deal, Cakes.
It's not. But I'll tell you this: if the Caps got eliminated from a big playoff series,
yeah, of course,
and somebody just tweaks me.
Hey, they send you the dumb picture of Ovi raising the golf clubs.
Blocked.
Two blocks today.
Immediately blocked.
Yes.
Or you know what?
And at least
the suspension.
Yeah, suspension's no big deal.
Or they're
slap
muted.
On the wrist.
They would be muted. I know that.
And any of you guys out there would you feel the same way? If the Commanders don't win the Super Bowl and your friend or someone you know says LOL lost to the Eagles, as soon as they lose, you're gonna be annoyed and pissed off. So I said, Mo, you're lame as F, annoying. Good night.
Wow.
You know what?
You salty like that?
I'm Team Drab here. Yeah. I'm totally Team Drab.
Is he blocked off your Instagram? I don't even know how that works.
No, I didn't block him. I unfollowed him for a day.
Get that out of here!
What a block!
He said DMing me yesterday. I mean, he called in. I finally answered the third time he called in to tell him he was suspended. but then he started DMing me again on Instagram, a sob story about, please don't take it out of my dad. He loves the show. He said he was calling today, and you didn't answer his call either.
Drab banned his dad one day, guilty by association.
Wow. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know his last name, but the Mo and Melvins from Largo, they're not getting their ADs. Well, actually, they are getting their ADs right now.
Yeah, I mean, a big AD
so I said
deposit
your dad was guilty by association.
Right.
I mean, one day suspension for him.
Yeah.
Call back.
So they're a father-son caller duo. I'm actually just thinking of this off the top of my head.
There can't be many of
those. What other family deals do we have? We have Vic and his brother. Vic from Akakeek. I'm forgetting his brother's name.
I think it's Vince.
We got Vic and Vince. Any other family?
I think there's a few, but they don't really let it be known on air. Maybe not father, son, but brothers.
I shouldn't know this. Kevin from Glory Days, does he have like a twin brother?
He does, but I don't know if his twin brother calls the show.
Thankfully, his twin brother, I don't think he's ever called.
He can only handle one of those guys.
He brought a blueberry pie in.
He can only handle one Kevin from Glory Days.
I didn't know Drab ruled with an iron fist like this.
Yeah, he's harsh. He's the Kim Jong-un of producers. Yeah.
But I'm guessing the room was North Korea.
It sounds like you maybe egg him on to ban these guys.
No, I actually...
Mar did today. He said I need to be even harder on the callers in 2025. That's my New Year's. He wants my New Year's resolution to be meaner to callers. Okay, no more Mr. Nice Guy.
I like that. Hey, at least it's a resolution.
Are you meaner? Like when Drab's out and you work the phones, Mar's very nice. How do you handle it? Like, what is the difference in style between you and Drab when you're dealing with the callers?
I'm definitely way nicer. I mean, not that it kind of goes against what I just said, because I said he needs to be meaner, but you know, sometimes I get
so you want to create a greater chasm between you two so that you get to be the good cop to his bad cop when you actually work the phones.
Yeah, when you word it like that, that sounds pretty good.
No, Mar's actually too nice.
Oh, he is.
Yeah, Mar lets anyone throw. He's a turnstile.
I actually want to hear from from callers right now if there are any besides the two that we named. That's a pretty interesting dynamic. The family callers into the same radio show.
Yeah, I don't know.
So we've got Vic and Vince, and we've got Mo and Melvin. Are there any others out there? 800-636-1067.
Does
Keith and Laurel have a family member that's also a prize pig?
Well, what Drab does is he challenges the callers, and it's elite phone screening. Right. Drab will say, "I am an elite phone screener," but he challenges the callers because a lot of times people call in, they say, "Hey, I want to get on."
Right. Nothing.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so Drab probes them.
I'm trying to pull in from opinions out of people.
Right, yeah. Sure.
And so every once in a while when people get going, you know, then we have a conversation, and then every once in a while people lose their cool.
Yeah, no, and then a lot of times if you get challenged, like some people don't respond to that well.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden they start cursing at Drab.
Bobby Knight on the phone's over here.
Yelling at Drab, just kind of name-calling him. And then when you do that, you're already behind the eight ball. You're not going to get on air.
Look, when we got a lot of people calling in, and it's a Monday, and I'm trying to put either people with good opinions through or excitement, and you call in, and you're like, "Hey, this is David. I want to talk about the game." I'll say something like, "All right, man, come on. You got to give me something more.
Right. What do you want to talk about?
What do you got? Give me your opinion." Oh, you know,
they were awesome.
It was fun.
Yeah, you got to have something more.
I'm trying here.
Yeah.
So it's not personal. I'm just doing my job.
Understood.
But every once in a while, you guys get fired up, and
right?
And I got a bit of a temper. I'm not going to lie. So I'm not 100%.
Got a little personal with Mo.
Yeah, I'm not 100% Mo hit you at the time.
He trolled you at the exact spot where you were most vulnerable.
Yeah. And again, it was unnecessary.
Like there's salt in a fresh wound.
Yeah, it was Mo coming in off the top rope with an elbow drop that was completely unwarranted, in my opinion. Let's go to David. He's calling in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. What's up, David? You're on with the Judge. You made it through. You made it through the Trav's harsh phone screening.
Hey, good morning, guys. This is David from Switzerland, because I'm an objective, neutral third party here. I think 2 weeks is nowhere near enough. I think if someone harasses you in the sanctity of your own home, you're off duty, 2 months minimum. That's my take.
Wow, he wants
thanks
more.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, thanks, David.
Wow.
Yeah, an off-hours harassment.
Off-hours.
Late-hours harassment, near midnight, the witching hour.
You know how Indiana Jones has to go through all those obstacles to get the Holy Grail?
Sure.
That's Drab's call screening process.
Yeah, it's tough.
But again, this dispute was on DM.
Right.
I was about to say instant message,
right.
But...
But it doesn't message. Matter what the forum was. Like, it could have been a DM. It could have been a text. Like,
and Valdez, he'd feel the same way.
Totally.
When Lamar flames out in the playoffs again, and someone gets in his DM and tweaks him.
Right.
I mean, the guy quit Twitter.
I know. Yeah. I mean, if somebody comes at me hard and says Bilal is like the worst player in the league, I'm probably not going to take it very well.
He's not the worst. Trapp said he was 283rd or whatever it was.
That's on certain metrics. I need to figure out Trapp's
No, but it
analysis.
Has to be something you actually really care about. And as soon as they lose, and if it's within like hours of when they lose a playoff game or their season's over, you gotta let things cool down a little bit. Let your friend get a steam
going out. Back in history, like say the Caps had lost the Stanley Cup to the Vegas Golden Knights, which they never would have because the Golden Knights have been around for 5 minutes. Yeah, it wouldn't have happened. And then the second the Golden Knights are celebrating on the ice, somebody sends me a DM.
A picture of Shadow Creek.
Like, LOL, Caps eliminated again, can't win the big one. They'd be blocked for eternity. It wouldn't just be 2 weeks. For me, it would be for the rest of your life.
I don't think I've ever blocked somebody. I just throw the old thanks for listening.
I don't block a lot of people, but...
Like, I don't even know if I know how to.
I mean, it's not that hard. What are you, a 90-year-old?
I've never looked at it.
Can't figure out how to block somebody on Twitter? It's not difficult.
It's pointless most of the time because people see it as a victory if you block them.
Right.
Right? They're like, this guy's a P-word. Yeah, I got to him. Right, he can't handle the heat. And it's mostly just, I don't really feel like being annoyed by this person. Right. I'm just going to forget about this person for never think about this person ever again.
Right. Is Mo coming to the New Year's Eve soiree tonight, JP?
Now you're going to make it awkward. I did not invite him.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm just asking. I'm just putting it out there.
Like Mo.
Sure.
I mean, just invite him. You invite anybody to your house. Yeah. Give them their number. Invite them to your house.
Mo mounted TVs at my house.
Very nice.
Roger, the engineer, did come to my house yesterday.
Oh, he did?
We're co-workers.
Yeah. Was it awkward? Did he make it awkward or no? Was it... Everything was good?
It's Roger.
What did he say to you about the Commanders? Because I actually...
Yesterday.
You said he said one of the weirdest things because I want to follow up on this.
A massive win by the Commanders. They get to their 11th win for the first time since the early 90s. And I believe Roger's exact quote to me was... Hey, the Commanders, that's pretty good, right?
So he said that.
And that was it.
I thought he said something like, are they going to do that thing?
No, he's like, it was, hey, the Commanders, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, yes, Roger, it's pretty good. They have 11 wins when they were picked to get 6.5 by Vegas.
So because you said that and brought it up on the air, I saw him about a half an hour later, and I was like, what do you think about the Commanders? And he's like, they going to do it? That's his go-to.
I was crestfallen this morning when I was going to clean out is a strong word, rinse out Valdez. I'm going to have to take the coffee pot home because it's dirty. It's just dirty.
Is this the coat of like film on it?
It's just it's filmy. We're drinking coffee from like 6 months ago. Just this is gross. So I round the corner and I see Roger cleaning the other coffee machine. And I know that's going to take him 5 to 7 minutes at the sink. So I just went into the bathroom, dumped out the coffee, rinsed it out, and I filled it up with sink water from the Odyssey bathroom. Valdez, I hope the coffee tastes okay. Because we're drinking Odyssey bathroom sink water is the source. It ain't Fiji. It's not high level.
You just want the caffeine. That's what you need. Yeah, the caffeine. Need right into the veins, right cakes. And that's what you do. And
I also heard a vicious rumor that is breakfast being provided for the junks today?
There are
rumors about that happening or no?
My stomach is actually growling.
I need an update.
It's happening. He's listening right now.
Ooh.
He actually just texted me. Hurry up. I don't want to get banned.
Hey, this might work for
you. That's a listener on his P's and Q's right there.
Hey, what if Mo gets breakfast? Will you unban Mo if he provides breakfast?
No good behavior for Mo.
This could be like, you know, how EB does his Venmo hustle? Yeah. This could be your hustle. Little side hustle.
Love it.
Yeah, so I'll take it.
All right, Ricky's looking to upgrade your office game? Of course you are. Then swing by PVI Office Furniture where they've got everything that you need to take your workspace from the bench right to the big leagues. Whether you're drafting up the next great idea or just need a power play when it comes to comfort, PVI has got the perfect lineup of desks, chairs, and accessories. Mention the fan, and how about you score 15% off your in-store purchase? Don't miss your shot. Hit the ice at PVI Office Furniture today and elevate your workspace like a true champion. PVI Office Furniture, where productivity nets you a hat trick. Visit us at PVI, PVI.com, because business grows with PVI. So we saw the Lions last night, who didn't really have anything to play for. They could have rested all their starters because everything hinges on their matchup with Minnesota for the one seed. Dan Campbell said, you know what? I don't care. I'm playing my starters. Played them until the very end. Played Jared Goff, played Jahmyr Gibbs, played Jameson Williams, played Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, Amon-Ra got a little bit banged up in the game.
It's a risky proposition.
That's the risk. You know, you play a violent game. Sometimes guys are going to go to the sideline and they get hurt. They get beat up. I mean, it's the nature of the NFL. It's something Dan Quinn and the coaching staff are going to have to think about game against the Dallas Cowboys this upcoming weekend.
All right, here's a scenario. You could rest your guys and still win.
Yep.
But if you rest your guys and lose, you're going to lose that six seed more than likely. I mean, I guess it depends on what happens with Green Bay.
Mm-hmm.
So is it worth the risk? If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Dan Quinn believes it is worth the risk. He said, we're going to go after it as hard as we can.
Mm-hmm.
I think the seeding portion of this is really important. And that's what we discussed as a team. We thought last night the vibe was awesome at the game. We thought we left some plays out there. And so for us, that leveling up as we're heading into this week with Dallas would be really important.
By the way, that's a scary thought. Like, he thinks they left something out on the field and didn't quite, you know.
Well, think of the first half. I think the first half, the offense sputtered after a good start.
Okay, but they still wound up putting 40 points on the board.
Right.
Like, that's how good that team is.
Yeah.
That's how explosive they are.
We talked about this yesterday. Who would you like to play? And the three teams that they possibly could play include the Rams. That's Sean McVay. That's a team that's won five in a row. That's Matthew Stafford. They've won the Super Bowl. Puka is playing great football right now. Still have Cooper Kupp. Kyren Williams scores touchdowns every week. That seemed to be the opponent that most people favored playing. I believe on our poll of the day, the Rams were the leader. Because
right.
The other options are Tampa. Baker's going to have a 40-touchdown season.
Mm-hmm.
They already beat them. Now that was way back in the opener. And then there's the Eagles. I kind of thought, you know what? You just put up 36 on the Philadelphia Eagles. With five turnovers, I would think there's some confidence playing the Eagles again, a lot of familiarity. So I might actually be in favor of resting the guys and just assuming you're going to play Philly. You can even start game planning for Philly. Because
right.
You know Philly's locked in. They're the number two seed.
Right. They're not going anywhere. Now, if you have questionable or borderline guys, of course you don't play them. Like, I'd be shocked if you saw Marshon Lattimore play against the Dallas Cowboys. Like, he sat out this most recent game against Atlanta. Like, they want him for whoever they draw in the first round of the playoffs. But I think Dan Quinn he's kind of in that Dan Campbell type of mode. Like, I don't think he's going to want to rest his starters unless...
He's not. He's being real. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Here's the quote. I gave you the earlier quote, but he also said, we recognize having a sixth seed and going into the playoffs with that is a good thing.
Right.
We're going to fight like hell to keep that. So yeah, he's all in on going for the sixth seed.
Like, if you're the sixth
seed. Because they have the sixth seed right now. He does not want to lose that.
And I think if you gave him truth serum, he would rather have his team play the Rams than he would have them play the Eagles. It's just a softer opponent.
What about this scenario? Like, there's no designed runs for Jaden Daniels in this game. We're not doing any kind of RPOs.
Right.
We're telling Jaden, throw the ball away if don't take off.
But then you're not going for it and fighting like hell. You're a lesser version of yourself. And
well, maybe you can feel like you can beat the Cowboys even as a lesser version of yourself.
Maybe.
And also, you have to protect the golden goose. Like, if Jaden Daniels gets hurt or is unavailable for the playoffs, you know, then that's a catastrophe. So I'm kind of Team Valdez. Like, put him out there, but let's not put him at the most risk.
So you just want him to be a pocket passer in this game.
Let's major in the pocket passing. And if the pocket breaks down and you need to escape and scramble.
What? No long developing plays. Every route should be 10 yards and under.
All quick game.
All quick game.
I don't hate that.
I don't want the ball to be in his hands for more than 3 seconds.
They can win this game with their backups because we just saw what Dallas did
right
this week. And they've shut down CeeDee Lamb, right?
CeeDee Lamb.
I think
done,
they're in the process of the shutting season. Guys down. They're shutting it down.
Yeah. Right. Like, I mean, and it makes sense. If you're the Cowboys and CeeDee Lamb has a painful, I think it's an AC joint injury, why would you trot him out in a lost season when, you know, he's your premier offensive weapon and you need him for 2025? Like, that I completely understand. Like, it's a little bit tougher. You're trying to thread the needle a little bit more when there's playoff seeding at stake. You want to keep that fine line between momentum and, you know, you don't want your guys to be lackadaisical or off their game when the playoffs come around. Like, you kind of want them in that mode. And I think that's why you saw Dan Campbell just play his guys, because he wants them to be ready for the Vikings this upcoming week. Then hopefully they get a bye if they win the game, and then they're ready for whoever their next opponent is.
Well, you want to keep that momentum.
Certainly.
They've won 4 in a row, make it 5 in a row. Going into the playoffs, you feel good about yourself.
Yep. All right, let's go to the phones, the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Let's go to Sean, calling from the O-Town, from Olney. What's
and
up, Sean?
Sean has never been banned, as far as we know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know. What's up, Sean?
Hey, Sean. Maybe he should be banned.
Maybe he will be banned.
Only
going
not
forward.
Representing.
No, that's kind of disappointing. I even gave the home the adopted hometown props. He just failed.
By the
face
way,
planted.
Last night, unbeknownst to me, in my little neighborhood in Gaithersburg, there was a huge Hanukkah parade.
Oh, there
all
was?
These fire engines coming through.
Oh, very nice.
I saw this gathering of people, and I was like, "What's going on?" And then I just drove home, parked my car, and about 20 minutes later, I would say 6 fire engines and ambulances and
thing.
All these cars with big menorahs.
Very nice.
Have you ever had that in your hood?
Never. Now Santa does come through on a fire truck
every Santa
year.
As well.
I mean, that's tradition. But we've never had the Hanukkah parade.
Because I'm not on a thoroughfare like yours.
Yeah, my busy street.
But mine is the main drive of my neighborhood.
Yeah. We have a lot of cars parked
that's in where
that
there are parades.
Today.
We have a 4th of July parade on my street.
You know what? Your neighbor's got way too many parades going on. there's a lot happening there.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Rod. What's up, Rod? You're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. My thought was, man, I wish they, you know, the Cowboys beat us the first time. So I don't think you want to get swept by those guys. And they probably won't play a lot of their players, probably. So, I mean, if I was Dan Quinn, what I was thinking was, let's go hard for a half, man. Let's knock these guys out by halftime. We up by so many points, and we put Marcus Mariota in there. Let's go real hard for 2 quarters. Get rid of these guys, man, and cruise the 3rd and 4th quarter.
Okay. That's Rod's advice. Just play the starters for the first half. Try to win it in the first half. Get some distance between you and the Cowboys. And then roll out the second stringers in the second half. Let's go.
Hold on. Do you think losing to the Cowboys earlier in the season has any kind of relevance in playing or resting?
I don't think so.
Like, people don't want to go 0-2 against the Cowboys.
I mean, I don't think that's Dan Quinn or the coaching staff's priority.
Well, I know it's not their priority. I'm asking like a fan's priority. Like,
I'm sure there are some fans in the fan base.
Like, they don't want to. They don't want to get swept by the
I'm
Cowboys.
I'm sure there is a contingent out
so
there.
So they don't want to get swept. So they're gonna let Terry run go routes in the 4th quarter.
Maybe.
if it's a close game.
Yeah, I personally think that's dumb. But like, worrying about getting swept when you already have a playoff bid locked up, I wouldn't worry that much about it. Let's go to Stefan in Rockville. Stefan, you're on with the Junks. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good.
So thanks for taking my call. My 2 cents is I believe that we should play them, and the reason why we should play everyone is it's like a rhythm thing, right? You keep into a routine. If you take them out of the rotation, their routine is jammed up. I think there's – I don't know what the statistics are, but what if – what happens when the teams who, you know, they get a first round bye and then, you know, it seems like there are sometimes they're a little rusty going back into that game after they've had a week off, right? I mean, I don't know. What do you
it's happened. I think it goes both ways. Like, look, I was a Colts fan. I remember a couple times they had basically undefeated seasons, and then they would shut it down the last couple of weeks, and they'd have a bye, and then they'd have a dud in the playoffs.
Right.
But there's plenty of times when the Patriots have had byes, and it's kind of worked out for them. And the Chiefs have had byes, and it's worked out for them. So,
speaking of duds, your Colts defense, I rolled them out in the my fantasy championship, and they gave me as many points as Mike Marr. Zero. Big fat zero.
I'm going to be honest with you, Cakes. My Colts fandom is teetering like your Raiders fandom. Yes. I will say I made a bad decision when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And the Colts moved to Indianapolis. I stuck with the team. I grew up like in the Baltimore Colts. My dad lived in Baltimore for years, graduated from Hopkins, got a master's degree from Hopkins, was a stonemason in Baltimore, all that stuff. So I grew up like in the Baltimore teams. And when they moved, I was a teenager. I'm like, I still like the Colts. I didn't go back to the Ravens. I stuck with the Colts. It was great during the Peyton Manning years.
Sure, of course.
That's why I was a huge Peyton Manning fan. You know that. And then I was an Andrew Luck fan, too. Not as much, not as fervent a fan as Peyton. And it's just dissipated since then.
Yeah, you've separated from the Colts.
Now you got Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco.
Yeah, you're in separation mode. It's going to be a divorce finalized soon. I could see it. It's coming. It's looming.
But I've never had a Colts lamp like you have a Raiders lamp.
True. It's very good. It's very true. The lamp fell apart, but I still kept the top lampshade portion.
But I do have a top 10 moments in sports for the year 2024.
Yeah, 2025 is looming. It's right around the corner. When we come back, we'll get into JP's top 10 sports moments of 2024 here on The Junks.